Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. Another afternoon drive and some more local and national sports coming your way. On the show today, we're going to continue to wrap up the 2017 spring high school sports season. It's over with, believe it or not. Now we're gearing up for summer baseball. Today we're going to recap the Carbondino baseball season. Coach Jeff Cincinnurus will join us on the show. That's coming up here in about the next 10 to 15 minutes. And we'll also talk some horse racing. I want to talk the Preakness today. I know it's Wednesday. The Preakness took place on Saturday. The dust is kind of settled. And I just don't know how much buildup there's actually going to be for the Belmont without there being a chance of a Triple Crown winner. I mean, we went through this last year where we had three different horses win all three legs of the Triple Crown. This last weekend, Cloud Computing, who was a 13-1 underdog, actually won the race. And I think the best horse affected the outcome of the race, and that was Classic Empire, who really pushed Always Dreaming at the beginning of that race, and because of it, Always Dreaming faded out. Where is the sport at for the next 2 weeks, now that there's no chance for a Triple Crown? Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, he's going to join us. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. Let's dive into the national sports headlines. We begin in the NBA. Chris Bosh's tenure with the Miami Heat, it's about to come to a close. The final member of the Big Three, two part ways. Chris Bosh and the Players Association, along with the Miami Heat, have tentatively agreed to a resolution that would allow all parties to move on. Now, Bosh is 33, hasn't played in the NBA since February of 2016 because he has a blood clot issue. He's remained on the Heat's roster as the sides have tried to work through medical and legal issues. And basically where the holdup is Chris Bosh does not want to be done. He has said several times that he believes he'll be able to find a treatment and a plan that would allow him to return to the court. Under the current rules, if he was to come back and play more than 25 games for another team, his salary cap hit would return to the Heat's books. We've seen this before with Darius Miles, right? The Heat owe him $52 million over the next two seasons. And even though part of that is covered in insurance, he's on their cap, which limits their flexibility and ability to really replace him. And you look at some of the contracts that they have, Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside. Also part of the problem is they're caught between two CBAs with differing rules on players and the life-threatening medical conditions. So the new CBA, which actually takes effect July 1st, has new policies for evaluating player health. This is a really long, drawn-out process, and I hope that we see Chris Bosh again. In fact, if you really go back and you look at how the Miami Heat won their two championships with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, they don't win any if it wasn't for Chris Bosh. They don't win any. And that Big Three is probably broken up after year two or three because of the financial reasons and the outcome. So Chris Bosh was huge to that Big Three. But unfortunately, we haven't seen him in a while. And because of that, he's kind of forgotten. Let's stick with the NBA. We'll move over to talk Minnesota here for just a moment. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they're going to have a lot of money to spend in the offseason. Very interesting team. To me, they were the biggest disappointment this past NBA season. Tom Thibodeau chose Minnesota. He had several places that he could have went. He went to Minnesota, and I did not blame him because that roster was very appealing. Karl Anthony Towns putting up monster numbers. Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Ricky Rubio. I like that roster an awful lot. There's a rumor floating that now Minnesota is viewing Derrick Rose as a potential target. He's only 28, free agent for the first time in his career because he spent last season with the Knicks after a trade. prove that he can play when he's healthy. He had a meniscus tear in his left knee that did require season-ending surgery. Big surprise, I know. But at the time of the surgery, the Knicks offered a timeline for his recovery, and he's supposedly fully recovered right now. He has a strong relationship with Tom Thibodeau, and I think that if Derrick Rose, and if, it's such a big if anymore, if he can stay healthy, this guy can be an impact player. I truly believe that. The Knicks haven't necessarily ruled out re-signing Derrick Rose, but I think he plays for his third team in 3 years. And the rumor circulating with the ties, obviously, to Tom Thibodeau, that there's a chance that Minnesota could be in the works. And look, they were such a disappointment in my eyes this year that maybe a move that reeks of desperation like that, it could be in the works. We'll move over to the NFL. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott missed his second straight day of OTAs because he was in a car accident on Sunday. The Cowboys said that he suffered a hit to the head in a minor accident, and he's being evaluated. He's doing some conditioning work off to the side, the team said as well. Jason Garrett said the team learned of Elliott's accident on Monday morning. He said the running back was coming back from a charity event Sunday night when the car in which he was riding in was involved in the accident. Elliott led the NFL last season with 1,631 yards, not going to participate tomorrow either. Garrett did say he expects the running back to resume next Tuesday with OTAs. Let's move over and take a look at the scoreboard in Major League Baseball. We had some day games today, a couple of finals. Toronto topping Milwaukee by a final score of 8-4. That was earlier today. Also, Minnesota tops Baltimore 4-3. Right now in the ninth inning, the A's all over the Marlins 4-1 in an interleague matchup, and the Diamondbacks have doubled up the White Sox 8-4. The score right now. Getting ready to start, we have the Reds and the Indians. 5 o'clock hour, we get the Royals at the Yankees. The Mariners take on the Nationals. The Rockies are at the Phillies. The Rangers at Boston. The Mets play host to the Padres. We get the Angels at the Rays and the Pirates at the Braves. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock, the Giants and the Cubs will play once again. Last night, Lester was phenomenal for the Cubs. They got the best of the Giants and Johnny Cueto. We get the Tigers and the Astros. And the nightcap, the Cardinals and the Dodgers. Rich Hill on the hill for the Dodgers. Mike Leake for the St. Louis Cardinals. Last night's game went 13 innings, and the Dodgers picked up a 2-1 win off a Logan Forsythe walk-off double. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports scene. When we return, we're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondino Baseball Squad. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back after this. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Utah State University Eastern freshman infielder Cassidy Howe was named to the Scenic West Athletic Conference second team following a standout campaign in 2017. Ending the regular season with a .395 batting average, Howe registered 33 RBIs, 49 hits, 9 doubles, and 30 runs, all of which led the team in the program's inaugural season. Batting leadoff for most of the year, Howe appeared in every game throughout the season. She also proved to be consistent in the field, producing an .872 fielding percentage to go along with 102 putouts. The USU Eastern women's softball season came to a close about a week and a half ago as they suffered their second loss of the conference tournament to CSI. Registration is currently open for the Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life Baseball Clinic, which is now in conjunction with Major League Baseball's Play Ball campaign, and it's making its return to Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City on Saturday, June 10th. The clinic is free for boys and girls between the ages of 8 and 12, giving them the opportunity to receive instruction from former Major League Baseball players on the same field used by the Salt Lake Bees. The time of the session has been set for noon. With Major League Baseball taking over the logistics of the event, it is expected that several of the instructors will be Hall of Fame players. Due to the overwhelming interest in this event, registration is currently open and limited to the first 120 participants. The event itself is free. However, transportation to and from the clinic is the responsibility of the parent or the guardian. A waiver must also be signed by the parent or the guardian for each child to participate. You can find more information on this event or the registration form by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Registration is also open for Carbon County Recreation Summer Doubles Horseshoe League. Games will be played on Thursday nights beginning at 7 p.m. at the Washington Park Horseshoe Pits. The league itself will begin on June 1st and it will end on July 20th with the league tournament. The cost to play is just $20 per team. You must register and pay the fee at Carbon County Recreation's office, which is located at the Carbon County Event Center. The registration deadline is set for Friday, May 26th at 5 p.m. If you have any questions regarding the league, just contact Carbon County Recreation's office at 636-3702. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Carbon Lady Dino softball coach Wade Williams. The Lady Dinos recently wrapped up the 2017 campaign as they finished 2-2 in the tournament and actually advanced further than they have since 2005. The Lady Dinos had just three seniors on this year's squad, and Coach Williams talked about the success of the season.
Yeah, we did have a young team. We on the varsity, we started a freshman, like three sophomores, three juniors, and three seniors. We as coaches have been telling them all year that, you know, you guys are good. You know, you keep working, good things will happen.
Well, the Dinos will return the majority of this year's team next season. Coach Williams says the underclassmen are already set to go. They want to keep playing.
This young squad, they're excited. They're asking me, can we go already? And I said, no, we're going to take a month off, relax, and then we'll come back in about a month and start up again.
Congratulations to the Carbon Lady Dinos on a successful 2017 campaign. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're going to talk baseball here on Drive Time Sports as we continue to wrap up the spring high school sports season down to the final couple of days of the school year. Yesterday, we talked some Carbon Dino softball. Today, we'll talk some baseball. The Dino baseball squad actually made a nice run through the one-loss bracket as well. They fell victim to Juan Diego. That's how the season came to an end. But that was after eliminating a couple of teams, including Stansbury, with a very big and hard-fought victory. Joining us right now in the studio to talk about the end of the season, we have head coach Jeff Centenaris. Coach, good to get you in today.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Coach, the season come to a close. You guys actually made a nice run after dropping that first contest. You guys were able to eliminate a couple of squads, and fortunately, Juan Diego was the end point for this team. But you guys definitely had a decent run through that one-loss bracket.
Yeah, I'm proud of our guys. I mean, obviously there's only one team in the state that's going to walk off the field, you know, as a victor when the state tournament comes around. Everybody else is going to walk off as, you know, losing their last game. So, you know, that's kind of what I told my guys. Obviously you want to play as far as you can, but you know, third straight year we've made it that far in the state tournament. This year, you know, dropping our first game in the first round and having to come back, and I thought we played exceptionally well against Stansbury. Our first game Thursday, you know, kids played good defense. You know, we had some timely hitting. We scored some runs in the first inning, kind of put the pressure on Stansbury. Zach Bradley, you know, came back after not his greatest showing against Desert Hills the week before, and we kind of talked about things, and I thought come out and pitched a perfect game for us. Got us deep into the ball game, and then once again we turned the ball over to Adrian Sanchez on the mound in relief, and I cannot say enough good things about what Adrian did for us in the postseason, coming in as a sophomore, pitched three innings at Desert Hills like we talked about a week ago with seven strikeouts, came back in a bases-loaded situation with the score 3-2 us against Stansbury, bases loaded, one out with their 3-4 hitters up. You know, talk about the meat of the lineup and having bases loaded and only a one-run lead, and comes in and strikes out their two big hitters. Gets us out of a jam, and then finishes off the game for us. Gets a big double play ball in the seventh inning to kind of, you know, shut Stansbury's rally down there, and we come out with a 4-2 victory. So again, he did a great job, but you know, Zach Bradley did a wonderful job for five innings and kept us in the ball game. And I just thought we played a really good ball game against Stansbury.
I think all in all, the pitching staff is something that you've talked about all year. I mean, when you have that deep of pitching, especially with the underclassmen that you guys have, you really have the ability to go deep into the state tournament. I mean, now with the inning limit, the pitch limit, it's a must, right? I mean, you have to be able to throw six or seven kids.
Yeah, if you look at the state tournament as a whole, and you look at the scores, this was really a lopsided state tournament. I mean, Park City was ranked number one or two all year long, and that was because they had, you know, probably the state's best 3A pitcher in the Brady kid. And when he threw, they were lights out. But when he didn't throw, they were really vulnerable. And that's obvious. They lost, you know, their two state games, I think 20-2 and 19-1. And, you know, you hate to see state tournament games decided by 20 runs, but that's kind of what we got into with this pitch count thing. And when teams ran out of, you know, their best pitchers and had to throw guys that probably were just throwing JV all year long, you know, the good hitting teams really took advantage of that and put up some big runs on them. And, you know, that kind of happened to Juan Diego. The game after us, you know, they played pretty well, but then Snow Canyon really took advantage of their pitching staff and put a bunch of runs on them. So, you know, I'm a big fan of saving kids' arms and really the safety part of the aspect. But when you look at what happened in the state tournament in semifinal games and you're having a team get beat by 20 runs, you know, that just shouldn't happen. And unfortunately it did. And I think a lot of it had to do with the pitch count. You know, teams just didn't have a pitcher to come in and really throw in those games, you know, to close out a good team. But at the same time, you should be preparing those kids all year long to be in that situation. And that was something that I really tried to do all year long. And yeah, we take some losses early in the year, and our record is, you know, it's not 20-2. You know, we were 14-10 on the year. But, you know, what does that record really matter when it comes down to the state tournament and how far you go? And if you accomplish your goals, you can win a state tournament and be a sub-500 team if you put it together right and do things. So, I mean, ultimately that's what it's about. And I really was proud of the way we brought our kids along all year. I thought our pitching staff was maybe second to none as far as depth. You know, we just didn't hit the ball and get enough runs on the board to push us deeper into the state tournament. But had we, I thought we would have had a great chance. And so I'm excited about next year with the pitching staff we have coming back. We're going to focus all summer long on our hitting. Obviously, we need to be better hitters, and we're really going to focus on that, you know, along with everything else that comes along with baseball. But the hitting part for us is kind of where we struggled this year. We just wasn't consistent enough to win those big games.
I think one of the words that could describe the team this year, Coach, is close. You guys were so close in so many different instances. I mean, you go back and you look at the way region came to an end. You guys were close to winning a region title. You made a nice run throughout the state tournament in that one loss bracket like we just talked about. I mean, this team was very close to being very, very good.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, a lot of people, maybe even including myself, after you look at what we lost last year and thought, you know, where will we be this year? But, you know, once I seen the guys during the summer, and once I seen them coming to open gyms in the wintertime, you know, I started to believe that we had a group that could go as far as we could, you know, needed to go. But I don't think a lot of people maybe gave us that credit, but, you know, you're right. I mean, this group really played well. We were close, but just the inconsistency is what held us back. You know, just not being consistent day in and day out. But, you know, I really think the effort was there. I got after him quite a few times. We've talked about that, about our effort. And, you know, I talked to him just the other day about summer ball, and it's about effort. And if they really want to see me get fired up, come and give me a poor effort every day, because effort is something everybody can give. Talent is something that not everybody has the best of, but effort is something that everyone should be able to give and give their best. And so, yeah, close. I mean, you look at the Juan Diego game, our last game we got put out. I mean, you know, they put 5 runs on us in the first inning. A lot of teams would have just laid down and been done. And, you know, we come back, we cut it to 5-4 by the fourth inning. And I thought, had the momentum, had guys at second and third, another base hit, we take the lead, and who knows what happens. But again, we were just close and couldn't get the big hit when we needed it there to push us over the top. And, you know, eventually ended up giving up a few more runs. I mean, a big, you know, they had a big inside the park home run with bases loaded. And, you know, I can't fault the effort by Wyatt Wilson in center field. He made so many great catches for us all year long that if you don't try and make another great catch, you don't know if you're going to. And that's something I've worked with the guys on, you know, diving and trying to make a great catch, because if you don't try, you're never going to make one. And so, unfortunate for him and for us, the ball got by him in center field. You know, they had a big inside the park home run, gave him 4 runs there, I think, in the 5th or 6th inning. And kind of turn the momentum again in their favor. But, yeah, you talk about close. I mean, we're talking close on a diving catch in center field. It could have maybe changed the whole game, too, and instead it went their way. But that's baseball. And extremely proud of the effort my guys gave, especially in the state tournament, but, you know, also all year long and working hard and getting better and buying into the system again. It's a process of buying into what coaches are telling you to do every day, even if you don't believe it, and maybe your parents don't believe it or outsiders don't believe it. But if they'll work hard and listen to what we're saying and put it all together at the right time, you can be very successful. And I think this group was successful. Even though we were close to accomplishing our goals, we didn't quite get there. I think we accomplished the goal of being successful and being better young men and better baseball players.
Again, we're being joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus to put a wrap on the high school baseball season. Coach, you do have a couple of seniors that you have to say goodbye to, and I know that's kind of the gift and the curse of high school sports in general. You grow attached to some of these kids, and then when they're senior year, comes, I mean, they're gone. It's the last time you get to coach a kid like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we had seven seniors. You know, it's unfortunate we have to say goodbye, but fortunate that we had seven of them to play for us this year. And, you know, seven seniors that stuck it out throughout their high school career and got better, and all of them contributed. You know, we did some awards at our banquet, and we have our Carbon ESPYs tomorrow night at the high school, which I would invite everyone to come out. It's something we've, you know, tried to do something fun for our kids instead of just an athletic, you know, banquet or whatever. We call it the Carbon ESPYs, and it'll be at the high school tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and everyone's invited to come watch and see what kind of awards our young people are getting. And every sport will be involved, and it's something that's great for our guys. And yeah, we get a chance to honor our seniors, and you know, they really did a great job. I put a lot of pressure on them this year, being leaders. You know, they stepped up to the challenge. I think we can still all be better leaders, including myself. And I'm appreciative of the opportunity I got to work with each one of them. And you know, like I said, each one of them did something wonderful for us this year. I'm going to get the chance to still work with a few of them this summer in Legion Ball. They're going to come out and play for us. A few of them have decided, you know, that maybe baseball is done for them, and they're going to move on this summer and start accomplishing, you know, new goals, which I support. And I tell them every year, you know, I'm a baseball coach, but hopefully I'm more than that for you. And if you ever need anything, you know, I'm always here. And I'm proud and excited to see where this senior class goes to in the next little bit.
Let's talk about the Legion season, because there's really we always talk to coaches about what you're going to do in the offseason. What are some of the things that you can do throughout the summer to help these kids prepare for next season? For you, you move right into Legion Ball. In fact, you had tryouts earlier this week, and you guys get rolling with your first league game on June 2nd. I mean, it's right here.
Yeah, we basically get a week of practice, you know, especially with the holiday coming up. We're going to be done after today for the rest of the week, and then Monday off, and come back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we play St. George on Friday here at home for Legion Ball. And, you know, right off the bat, we get one of the best squads in the state, and that's probably what they're saying. Hey, right off the bat, we get Helper. And, you know, we both know what we need. We were the champions of our league last year. Our league has grown this year, and I'm excited about that. The American Legion League as a whole has grown across the state, and you know, I put forth a big effort along with St. George's American Legion coach of trying to reach out to all the high schools this year in the springtime to say, hey, we really need to get Legion Ball back. And I think we made a big push, and I think we're seeing some benefits of that. I think we're going to continue to see benefits of that, and hopefully get, you know, the Legion League back in the state of Utah, you know, strong. But I'm excited about it. You know, we had tryouts, like you mentioned. Still kind of, you know, kicking them around tonight. We did them yesterday and the day before. And I've had a lot of kids out because I'm running two programs with Utah's Perfect Game League for our younger guys and Helper's American Legion team for our older guys. And so, you know, we've had over, you know, 35 kids out there, and, you know, we're going to split those kids up and make two squads. And, you know, I'm excited. We've got some young kids that are just going to be freshmen next year that have been out, and then of course our freshmen this year and our sophomores this year are going to make up that squad for Utah's Perfect Game League. And then, you know, some seniors and juniors and a couple of sophomores are going to make up our Legion League. And I've got one returner back that graduated last year, Taylan Abeda, who has that, you know, that luxury of being a younger kid. So he's going to come back out this summer. He just got through helping coach our younger team this year at the high school level. And, you know, just a great kid. And now the tables are turned on him a little bit. He's got to get out there and play. And he's got to take orders from the coaches now instead of being a coach. And, you know, but it's a fun time of year, and I'm excited to, you know, get the Legion season kicked off and just see, you know, where we can go. And again, like I said, you know, we've got a really tough league this year. We added Dixie, who's, you know, obviously just won the 3A state championship. They're going to be in our league. Pleasant Grove is a big 5A school who is always awesome in baseball. And Corner Canyon, another big school up at the Point of the Mountain, who's in our league again this year. So we've got a tough league, and with only four teams from our league making the final round of the state tournament in July, it's going to be tough to be there. I mean, it's not a given at all. And, you know, I'm expecting the kids to have to work extremely hard this summer if they want to get to that final round of the state tournament.
Coach, I'm sad that high school baseball is done, but fortunately, we do have some Legion Ball. I know we're going to be talking very frequently about this throughout the summer as well. I do appreciate you always taking out the time to join us, and look forward to talking about the Helper Squad.
Yeah, again, I want to make sure everybody knows that next Friday, June 2nd, will be the first home Legion game. I believe 8 p.m. start with St. George. And, you know, I think we talked about this before, but we will be hosting the first round of the State American Legion Tournament here in Helper this year, which will be a first ever. That's going to be around July 20th. And so, you know, we'll keep updates on that and how that's going to lay out. And hopefully, you know, our local support will be great for that tournament and supporting not only, you know, our home schools here with Price and Helper, but, you know, obviously coming out and just watching some great baseball. But, yeah, I'm excited to get things going. And we'll stop in and update everybody. And I know you'll have the schedule put out on the webpage for people. And obviously anybody can always give me a call if they need any information.
Coach, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you again for the time.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Thanks.
We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to move over to the national sports scene. Let's talk some horse racing. We had the Preakness this past weekend. Always Dreaming comes up short. We know there's going to be no Triple Crown. We'll preview the Belmont, talk a little bit about the aftermath, and does horse racing really need that intrigue of a Triple Crown? That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I want to talk about the Preakness and the aftermath. I know it's a couple of days after the race, but now things have kind of settled down a little bit. We know there will be no Triple Crown winner this year, as Always Dreaming faded fast down the final stretch of the race in the Preakness. And joining us right now to talk a bit about that and what lies ahead in the Belmont Stakes, we have Steve Bortstein, the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He's also the host of the Fast Track, a nationally syndicated race show. So, Steve, it's great to get you back on. Always look forward to the conversations.
I appreciate it very much, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely. Hey, let's dive right into it and talk about Always Dreaming in the Preakness. You and I talked last week. I think you and I shared the same view that he would win the Preakness, but didn't know if he would be able to hold up in the Belmont. Turns out he ran out of gas in the Preakness.
Yeah, he got pressured early from Classic Empire, and whereas I thought Classic Empire sort of spun his wheels in the Derby, he ran super in putting a lot of pressure on Always Dreaming early. But that early pressure, combined with, I would say, a questionable ride — I don't like questioning riders. I don't like questioning tactics in a race. Certainly, once Julian Leparue aboard Classic Empire sort of opened up down the back, going into the far turn, I think Leparue thought, oh, this is my chance. Let me put this field away. And I thought he opened up a little bit too soon, and that left him vulnerable down the stretch. Classic Empire gets nailed right on the finish line by Cloud Computing. Always Dreaming, to your point, succumbed to that early speed pressure. He tired out, finished eighth. So I think that brings up a number of issues also. Obviously, this was a horse who had his races fairly well spaced apart leading up to the Kentucky Derby. He'd had 5 weeks between the Arkansas Derby and the Kentucky Derby. Before that, he'd had 4 weeks between his last race in Florida. So he needed his races spaced apart a little bit better. This was a quick comeback for him. The pace pressure coming back too quick, that might have cost Always Dreaming a chance. And again, to your point earlier, it was clearly going to cost him in the Belmont. He didn't have the pedigree for it. I didn't like the way he necessarily finished in the Kentucky Derby. He didn't really put away anybody. He sort of just got the perfect trip. So I think there were questions about him going into the Belmont anyway. Yeah, and Saturday we got the answer.
Cloud Computing set third at each quarter pole, and it seemed like he was just waiting for the home stretch. Then, boom, he makes his move. You could talk about how horses have been, how he was rode in this race. I mean, it looks like Javier Castelletto put together a perfect race for Cloud Computing to win. He just sat back, Steve. He bought his time.
Yeah, and really, race tactics, you know, and that's what makes Javier Castelletto such a dangerous race runner. That, combined with the fact you had a lightly raced horse who was fresh coming into the Preakness. He didn't have the rigors of the Kentucky Derby. He was well beaten third behind Irish War Cry in the Wood Memorial about 5 weeks earlier. So he'd had the lightly raced thing. Again, to your point, you know, he wasn't coming out of the tough race in the Kentucky Derby like Always Dreaming or Classic Empire was. So it was the perfect tactic, and it really was the perfect storm for Cloud Computing, who, just like you said, got a tremendously smart ride, let the pace develop in front of him. It was a quicker early half-mile fraction than what we saw in the Kentucky Derby. So he got the right pace scenario, and it'll be interesting to see what trainer Chad Brown does with him going forward.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, Steve. I believe that the best horse in the Triple Crown leg is yet to win, and that's Classic Empire. Am I wrong for thinking this?
No, I think Classic Empire showed me, it makes me mad because he was my original Derby horse, and he didn't run his best race that day. He had the rough trip. He was wide turning for home on a sloppy race check that was favoring inside speed. We didn't see the best Classic Empire run in the Kentucky Derby, and we certainly got a very much better effort from him in the Preakness Stakes, but I don't think we'll see him in the Belmont. It makes no sense to run him in the Belmont. My best guess right now is that you'll see Classic Empire come back somewhere before the Haskell or the Travers Stakes up in New York, or the Haskell Stakes in New Jersey. It makes no sense to run him in the Belmont because it's a hard race to win. It's a difficult thing to come back from. And I think unless there's a Triple Crown on the line, or unless you're a long distance horse who is, you know, it has been specifically pointed to that, it makes no sense to run there.
No, but I think going into it, he would be the odds on favorite, wouldn't he?
He would be the favorite. He would clearly be the favorite, but I think there's bigger goals in mind than the Belmont Stakes. And that's no offense to the Belmont Stakes. It's still a very prestigious race, but you know, if the long-term goal is the Breeders' Cup, if the long-term goal is to ship out west to run in the Breeders' Cup against Arrogant, against the top older horse in America right now, maybe the top older horse in the world based on the way he won the Dubai World Cup back in March, if that's your goal, then I think you want to steer a campaign together right now that points him in that direction. I don't know if he's good enough to beat Arrogant today, tomorrow, the next day, but I don't believe for a second that these connections aren't thinking about that. I would have to imagine that these connections would be thinking about that quite a bit. These are Breeders' Cup trainers. The people who own, the people who train Classic Empire are Breeders' Cup type people. These are the kind of people that want to win those big races. And again, without the prestige that the Belmont carries when a Triple Crown is attached to it. And again, this is no offense to the Belmont Stakes, but it doesn't carry the same weight. And it's a mile and a half. It's a grueling, taxing, and completely difficult race that you don't have to run in if there's not a Triple Crown on the line.
Again, our guest right now is Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, let's move on and talk about the Belmont here for a moment. You have said this on the show several times, and I could not agree more with you. Horse racing does not need a Triple Crown winner. I couldn't agree more with you. You and I have talked boxing and horse racing with each other several times, and I get tired of the fight of the century. I think I've talked about six or seven fights of the century in my 10 years in broadcasting. With that being said, does it take a lot away from the Belmont, from the not only the casual or the fringe fan, but from the hardcore fan? Does it take interest out of the Belmont? I mean, you were just talking a minute ago about Classic Empire not needing to run in the Belmont. Obviously, that would not be the case if there was a chance for a Triple Crown here. So in that aspect, how important is it for a horse to go 2-for-2 into the final race for the sports perspective?
There's a lot of ways to answer this question, and I get this question all the time, and you and I have talked about this off the air a lot. It's not that the race isn't important. The Belmont Stakes is tremendously important, but not to the general sports fan when there's no Triple Crown on the line. The Belmont Stakes is extremely important to a certain group of people in the racing industry, owners and breeders, because it's a grade one race at a mile and a half. It's a prestigious race. It's a black type race. We call it black type because in pedigree books, the Belmont is one of those legacy type races. So when you decide to have your colt now go to the breeding shed and it says next to his name, grade one Belmont Stakes winner, that ups his breeding value. That ups his stud value. Well, that does a lot for owners and breeders and trainers and horsemen, but that doesn't do anything for you and I going to the windows or betting from home. That doesn't do a thing for us. So that doesn't matter to you or I, but it matters to the horsemen and the trainers, and that's certainly a big deal. Here's the problem, is that we hear so much all the time about, oh, racing needs a Triple Crown winner. We need a mega fight. We need the fight of the century. No, what we need are people who are able to promote the sport and market the sport of racing to the casual fan. Belmont Stakes Day by itself, Belmont Stakes Day without a Triple Crown on the line, still is going to feature six stakes races full of incredibly good horses running for hundreds and thousands of dollars of purse money. But you're not going to hear about that as a general sports fan. What you're going to hear is, well, there's no Triple Crown on the line. Who cares about the Belmont? And that's the problem, is that there are not enough people in this sport, there are not enough people in horse racing to tell fans, hey, this is a tremendous day of racing. This is the same in boxing. Oh, well, there's no real champion in this, on this fight card. Who cares? We haven't heard of these people. Well, the undercard's really good. You might not have heard of these guys, but they're really spectacular boxers. Boxing doesn't promote itself that way. Unless it's a heavyweight champion on the line, we don't know about it. And that's the problem. To me, it's always been boxing, horse racing, hockey, all of your so-called fringe sports that don't get the main everyday daily headlines that basketball and football and baseball do, and deservedly so. The fringe sports need to do a better job promoting itself because they're not, and therefore you don't know about these other great races that are going on this day, which otherwise, if it was for a Triple Crown, everyone in the world would be at it. But because we don't have this one glorified achievement that is so difficult to get to, nobody cares about it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest travesties of the week is that not a lot of people are talking about Cloud Computing, and that is very sad because he won a very difficult race against a couple of quality opponents, and it was a perfect race for him, Steve, yet he's not getting a whole lot of pub this week.
And I would go back to a question you asked earlier about Classic Empire, you know, being the best horse, you know, not to win the Triple Crown race. I would argue, and I would make the case here, that if Classic Empire doesn't run in the Belmont or doesn't win the Belmont, what have you, I would argue that of the three races, the most impressive race, we don't know the Belmont, obviously, but I would argue the most impressive race was run by Cloud Computing. I mean, Always Dreaming got the absolute perfect trip, stalking outside one horse on a track that was favoring inside speed. That was easy. Cloud Computing overcame a lot. Cloud Computing had a rundown. Had to not only beat the Kentucky Derby winner, hard to do off of just three lifetime races, had to run down a very talented horse in Classic Empire, and had to do it over a track he'd never been over before in front of 75,000-80,000 people. So I think that's a great point, you know, that you bring up here. Paul Kavutin ran a tremendous race, and nobody's talking about him today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It definitely is. As far as the, and again, I don't want to talk about Triple Crown winners, but when we go back to American Pharoah, which we're now a couple of years removed from that, Steve, has it lasted? When you talk to a lot of fringe or casual fans, has it lasted? Are people still talking about American Pharoah accomplishing something that not many people in their lifetime have seen up until that point?
Well, the hangover effect is still there, sure, for the fringe fan. For me, the cynic, it's, yeah, okay, that was great, let's move on. Because that's what racing fans do, that's what boxing fans do, that's what sports fans do, I think. You know, by and large, is, oh, that was great, that was a really cool thing, now let's get on to the next one. And I think for the fringe fan, everyone bought into the romanticism of American Pharoah. Everyone bought into the romanticism of him coming back and, you know, running the Breeders' Cup Classic later that same year. So naturally, we were all enamored by it. And then the reality comes in last year where you have three separate winners and three separate Triple Crown races. And we may see that again this year. So reality comes back into play. But to the question of, you know, is there still that hangover effect? I think for the general fan, yeah, people are like, well, where's the next American Pharoah? And my argument is, you saw it, and that was American Pharoah because he was the next Secretary, he was the next Affirmed, he was the next Seattle Slough. I don't need that. And that's, you know, to the question earlier about does racing need this? I don't care about the next American Pharoah. I want to know about the winner in the next race. That's the thing that drives me. You look for the next great boxer. I look for the next win bet. That's what we do as sports fans in these particular sports.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can listen to the Fast Track weekend mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. That's 8 a.m. Mountain Time. You can catch also First Sports weekday mornings. That's from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time. 7 days a week, we're doing stuff on the radio. It's good stuff. You can catch it online if you have downloaded the iHeartRadio app to your smartphone or wireless device. You can go to Fox Sports New Mexico, which is Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM. The First Sports program, Jordan's a featured player on the show quite frequently, talking boxing with us. We talk a lot of basketball, Utah Jazz stuff we talk about with Jordan when he's on with us. We also have a lot of great lists of national guests. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals coming up really soon. Looking forward to that. We talk a lot of NFL, college football. That's First Sports weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. And then, of course, the Fast Track weekend, 10 a.m. Eastern. And make sure to follow me online through Twitter at Fox1340 AM.
Steve, always fun to get you on and talk some horse racing or baseball or whatever we're talking about. I always enjoy the conversation, so thank you again.
Likewise, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this break.
This is Trevor Ariza, and you listen to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Ariza ahead of the pack. Ariza, reverse slam! An explosive game for Trevor Ariza.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We didn't get to talk a lot of basketball on the show today. Didn't talk any at all, actually. Last night, if you missed it, we did have another entertaining game of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Cavaliers found a way to knock off the Boston Celtics, but the Celtics actually had a double-digit lead. LeBron picked up four fouls. It was the first time in LeBron's career that he had four fouls in the first half. That has never happened before last night. Celtics took advantage of it in the first half, but there was too much LeBron, too much Kyrie down the stretch, and the Cavaliers now have a commanding 3-1 lead in that series with an opportunity to close it out tomorrow. And I would be surprised if Boston does extend this series. Again, it's a do-or-die contest for them. But they needed a Hercules-type effort from Marcus Smart. That's what they need in order to win this series. And I just don't know if Marcus Smart is quite that player yet. You got to tip your hat to Cleveland. I'll tell you, I don't think anyone touches Golden State. I don't think Cleveland wins more than one game in the final set unless we see some really serious court rust. But the Cavaliers are a handful when Kyrie Irving is playing like he played last night. A little bit of a scare for Kyrie. Stepped on the ankle of Terry Rozier, went down, tightened up his shoelaces. He was right back at it. He was 15 of 22 from the field last night. 42 points in this game, 4 of 7 from downtown, and he hit clutch shot after clutch shot. Every time Boston was about to pull away in this game, and again, they had a comfortable 13-14 point lead, but every time it appeared that Boston was about to really put the lead out of reach, Kyrie had an answer for him last night. And in the second half, once LeBron found his rhythm, Cleveland was very, very good in this game. One of the things that stands out to me, Boston shot 31 threes. The first half, they were pretty good from downtown. They did not shoot the ball well in the second half. And that's where I believe you have a problem in a matchup between Cleveland and Golden State. Boston actually held Cleveland with intact for the first half. Cleveland scored 19 points in the first quarter, 28 in the second. They exploded in the third with 40. Outside of that, Boston played fairly good defense on the Cavaliers. Golden State plays on both sides of the basketball. I'm just trying to compare the two as you get set for an NBA Finals preview. We know June 1st things will get underway, and so that's kind of the fun in this series, just trying to look at matchups. We'll talk more NBA basketball Friday on the show. Tomorrow is going to be a little bit different. Up and coming on June 3rd at the Carbon County Fairgrounds Event Center, we have Fierce Fighting Championships Redemption. Now, if you have never been to a Fierce Fighting Championship card, I'm telling you, it is worth the money. Take the family. You will have a great night of entertainment. We're not talking about the rink-a-dink fights. We're talking about sanctioned fights where you have legitimate professionals trying to climb the ranks. Two local names will be on this card, Cy Nelson and Mike Jones. Mike Jones has headlined a Fierce Fighting Championship card before. Tomorrow, we will preview this event in depth. Cody Bunderson, owner of Fierce MMA, is going to join me on air. We'll bring on some fighters, and we'll preview a couple of the events, including the co-main event, which, again, does feature two locals by the name of Mike Jones and Cy Nelson. That'll be on the show tomorrow. We do that every time a Fierce event is coming up. I always look forward to it. It's going to be a great time. That'll be on the show tomorrow. I got to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnati for taking out the time to come in and wrap up the high school baseball season. We move right in now to Legion play. That'll get rolling on June 2nd. And of course, a big thank you to Steve Bortstein. Always fun to get him on the show. I always look forward to joining Steve on his show as well. Remember to check out CastleCountryRadio.com. Archive versions of Drive Time Sports, coaches, interviews, featured guests. You can find all that at CastleCountryRadio.com. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link. I will catch you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.